miracle, a breakthrough that looks impossible, a situation change that you don't have any, you don't even, can't even figure out how to do it. You've got a family situation maybe that you're like, God, you have to do this. Or you need provision, money. Can we just, man, I just want to, I want to take it in. I want to breathe it out. It's like, these things are mine.
Right.
It's like, it's like your inheritance this morning.
Right.
It's like your inheritance. Yeah. So perhaps Michael's miracle is our miracle, right? Mm-hmm. So we're connected. Can you see that? We're family.
Is your son's name Michael? So is mine.
So,
take it. Yeah. Awesome.
Can we just say it this way? Everything that was just released is really... Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Wow.
Because that's who he is. That's who we're supposed to be. So all those things is what we should carry. When we're living from that face-to-face encounter with him, it can't, it just happens. It has to happen.
Right. So what if our whole worship this morning, what if this whole atmosphere of testimony that's been given was... Right, just to rewire your brain, rewire your heart, to kind of like fill you with hope and a sense of authority and power. So from that place, we're not beggars, right? So we can actually see Michael. We can see his ankle. And we can speak to it in the name of the Lord. What would heaven say to Michael's ankle?
Be made whole.
Be made whole. What would heaven say to his ankle? Be rebuilt. What else would he say? What would heaven say?
Be restored.
Be restored. Right?
Get up and dance.
Get up and dance. Girl. Get up and dance. So our prayer, that's our prayer this morning, right there. We don't have to like get everybody in all your heads.
Yeah.
Everybody, right? We just were releasing this. Can you just see it being released over Michael this morning? Hope and healing and restoration and provision and, oh, wow.
Yeah,
it's
good.
Wow, it's so good. We're going to, before we close this morning, we're going to take communion together. Next week is Easter, and we're going to celebrate Easter by eating.
Oh,
right? So that's our Easter is going to be a potluck.
I'll bring the undeviled eggs.
I just love the path we're on. I love being family together.
Yes.
And anybody, without your paper in front of you that we talked about last week, the pillars. What were some of the pillars? There were four of them we talked about. What was one of them?
God is good.
God is good.
Always.
We hang our hat on that, don't we? What's another one? Anybody remember? The cross paid for everything, right? We're significant.
Yes.
You are his champion. You're the voice of heaven here, right?
And my favorite, all things are possible.
Right? Everything is possible. Do you know that when you get confused about those pillars, when you get confused about any of them and you begin to maybe lose hope, and you wonder, is this really true? The one anchor he gives you to, like, the reminder, the central place where we go and remind ourselves, oh, yeah, is the cross.
Right.
It's the absolute epicenter of everything we are about, because it reminds us about all those four things, right?
One thing I forgot to mention about the little vision I had.
Go.
By the way, we're all little children, and we're running and playing and dancing together. So.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? You know, when I think about the days that lead up to Easter, like Palm Sunday, it's interesting. When Paul says, it makes this statement in Corinthians, he says, We preach Christ crucified. And to the Jews, it was scandalous. And to the Gentiles, foolish. Right? And it's like, well, you know why it was scandalous to the Jews? They
didn't
believe he was the Savior.
What their expectation was, the one who's going to lead us out of this oppression is going to be powerful and strong.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A king.
Right.
One who's going to come in and he's going to beat up the bully.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to crush the bullies around us. Instead, he's on a cross. It's like, wait a second, this can't be the truth, right? Our whole religion is, right, they align themselves around a king. And it didn't look like what they expected.
Well, their oppressors, 300 years later, all converted to Christianity.
Right. How about for the Greeks, which was kind of like everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Why was it foolishness to them?
Waste.
Yeah, they were figuring out that on their own, they had their views about how do we elevate this human condition, right? So they had, it was all about their smarts.
Their philosophies. Their big ideas.
Oh, and they had like, great new idea, we're going to listen to this philosopher, this, you know, educated person, and all the, you foolish people. You know, but it's interesting that, sorry, I'll just kind of dance here a little bit. So, the center of Christianity, why didn't he say we preach Christ resurrected? Interesting, huh? He says we preach Christ crucified. Do you know that there's lots of, at the time, there were lots of different religious groups, not just the Jews. There were all sorts of crazy ones. I mean, well, crazy, but I mean, there's all sorts of other little religious activities and idols going on. And many of them had gods, little g's, that were resurrected.
What do you mean?
That they had gods that they preached as resurrected. But you know, it was only Jesus.
No, he was the only one that was raised from the dead.
He was crucified and resurrected. He was one who was like savagely beaten, right? And went through the crucifixion, right? And raised from the dead, right? Which which baffled everybody. I mean, if you think about it, his whole ministry, right, is all about the good. I mean, he's on the hillsides saving people.
Mm-hmm.
He's got crowds around him. He's rescuing.
Thank you.
He is healing people. Everybody who came to him was healed.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes are being opened. Lame are walking. Leprosy is being... it vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
The people are like, oh, it's like, wow, right? He's feeding the hungry. He has all these answers to the human condition, right? And so when he comes in, he's celebrated for all this goodness. And you're like, wait, what happened? I mean, what happens in just a few days where all of that is brushed aside and he's crucified? I mean, in Mark, it says, after John was arrested, John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee, and he was proclaiming the gospel, which is the good news of God. And he said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is here. So repent and believe in the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Repent and believe in this good news. Repent and believe in the gospel. There's the challenge right there that's disrupting the political scene, right? You've got, because when you think about this thought of what is the kingdom of God is the government of God. It's the politics of God. It's the realignment and the rebuilding of society according to God. It's a whole new order for us to live by according to God, right? So now you've got these communities of people that are in charge. You've got the business world, all the rich people that are running the economy who kind of like need their victims to do their job. There's the religious community, the very religious community, who's got their structure. There's the political community, the governing, which you might put politically/military community, which has their thing, So all of a sudden, somebody comes in and says, we're going to change all your little kingdoms. I'm going to do it a different way. And they're like, the heck you are, right? And I mean, so they're absolutely being challenged by this person who comes and says, we're going to do life differently. We're going to do it according to this absolute goodness of God, right? There's no, and you know, all those other systems require fear,
right?
To maintain themselves. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes in and says, no more fear. We're going to do this whole thing by love. And none of their strategies work anymore. So Jesus is telling us, hey, all of us, he says, all those who are listening, all those who are watching what he's doing in the hillsides, mm-hmm. he says, hey, we need to start rethinking everything. Mm. The word for that, by the way, is repent.
Right.
Simple. It is simple, isn't it? We need to rethink everything here because our whole structures around us are all driven by fear. Right? We were watching Star Wars Friday night, right? We've been watching the early ones. And so we're watching this episode where Luke Skywalker, and I tell you what, when you watch Star Wars, if you put on your Jesus glasses and watch Star Wars, it preaches. It really is. It is a fest. It's like, wow. So Luke Skywalker is like discovering himself, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And he's being made aware of this force, right? The force mm-hmm. that's around him. But he doesn't know what to do with it. He knows there's principalities around him that are against him, trying to shut the force down. Mm-hmm. And he goes off and he says, you need to go see the master. And in Star Wars, it's Yoda. And Yoda tells him, in this episode we were watching, you need to unlearn what you've learned.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We heard that, and I think she went, oh, ah! I said, I know, I heard it too, right? You need to unlearn what we've learned here, right? So when we unlearn what we've learned, now what have we learned? We've learned how to accommodate fear.
Right.
Their system, whether it's political or economic or religious, it's like it works so well. Because fear, it manipulates, it deceives, it controls. That's what we've learned.
Right.
We've learned how to do life that way. So when you challenge that system and say, we need to unlearn that
right.
and respond differently, is it any surprise to you that the system pushes back?
Mm. Right. Absolutely.
The empire strikes back. Which was the episode we were watching on Star Wars, by the way. The Empire Strikes Back. It doesn't want you to change, right? So if you look at this story leading up to the cross, you got the very religious guy, Caiaphas. You got the very rich guy, Herod. And you got the very powerful guy, Pilate. Here's some Mueller collusion going on.
Oh,
all these guys are colluding and realize this guy is disrupting the system.
Yeah. Right.
Right? They're not paying attention to what he's doing. They're threatened by who they are.
Right?
They're threatened by who they are. So Jesus comes in and says, we need to unlearn all this stuff about fear. So when he goes to the cross, I think the fascinating thing about him going to the cross is he says he took sin upon him. And I was thinking this morning about sin. So, because I've been told before I don't preach enough on sin. Right? I think I preach all the time on it, by the way. I was thinking this morning about another way of considering sin, about what it is. And here you go. Sin is the consumption of fear. Mm-hmm. Sin is the consumption of fear. What do I mean by that? It's like, for me to do this, it's nourished by fear. For me to participate in this, I'm listening to fear. I'm listening to rejection. I'm listening to depression. I'm listening to anger. I'm listening to deceit.
Lies.
I'm listening to lies. I'm listening to manipulation.
Right.
For sin to function, it needs fear to feed it. Got it? So Jesus says, I'm taking all of that to the cross with me. Right? All those things that operate in fear, right? I'm showing, it's like he's going to take all your excuses for living in that condition, and he's going to, it's like, draws I'm on a big whiteboard, and it just gets wiped away.
Right?
It's emptied. And he says, when he says it's finished, he's telling you that this fear thing has no more control over you. Okay?
He's victorious.
But not only that, he says, and I forgive you. I think that's the greatest thing about the cross. It's like all sin washed away and forgiven. Right? Because he says in Luke 23, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're... They don't. What? You know why he says it? It's like, this was driven by fear.
Mm.
Now they're going to wake up to love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? And then he tells us, God was in Christ reconciling the word to a world to himself. Right? So he's at the cross. It says he no longer counts the people's sins against them. Right? He's telling us, it's like right here in the center and our anchor point for the four pillars, right? This thing that the enemy's trying to get us off of, he reminds us, fear has no authority in your life. I've forgiven you of that, and more than that, right? I've reconciled you to myself, right? So why don't you get communion ready? Can you bring it up?
Oh, Danny, that forgiveness goes all the way back to Adam.
It does, right?
Because he's the one that introduced that nature into us. And so when Jesus came, he came to restore us back to our original design, which was free of all of that junk.
Right.
So when we take communion with the understanding that our DNA is being transformed back to its original design, free of any impurities. Every time we take communion, because the record of that perfection is in the blood.
Right. When Jesus, you know when he has the first communion with his disciples? Do you know when that was? It's the week. It's before he goes to the cross. It's right before he goes to the cross. Okay. Here's what's fascinating about communion, right? Because when I grew up, communion was this almost a little scary thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was in a church where they only serve communion at night. And I'm pretty sure it's because they could control the lighting in the room.
It was dark.
It was always dark.
It was dark.
In the room. It's like they were creating like this, like this kind of like scary kind of place,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then
scary.
And it was served by the deacons. I grew up in a Baptist church, and they were. Thank you very much. We'll get to this in just a second. And I would look at them, and I'm thinking, "Wow, they're looking like this." and I also remember this when I was young. My dad would look down the pew and say, "Like, not you."
Say what?
Not you.
To take communion.
I was not allowed to take communion. And the reason was I hadn't. Said the prayer. I hadn't, been baptized. I wasn't a member of the church. And so all I knew was, oh, there's rules here. And I thought, well, what's it for? Right? And I was asking somebody at work the other day, another believer, it's like, why do we take communion? Right? Because if I grew up, it was like a tradition. It was maybe a little bit I was a little nervous or afraid, so I did it because I wanted to get off the naughty list, maybe. But you didn't know what it meant. You didn't know, why was it instituted? Why are we doing this? And who's allowed to take it? And we put all these layers and layers atop of it. In some faith groups, communion was about connection with their faith group. It may have been about being connected to this church or to this other group. And so they were very careful about what that meant. But,
no, it's the outward showing of your repentance.
Mm-hmm. So
for us, that's what it was.
So it's exciting. And I appreciate
right.
whatever your faith group was that you grew up with. And I honor that this morning.
Right.
I'll share with you, when Jesus has communion with his disciples, here's what happens. He knows where he's going, doesn't he? He knows he's going to take all this fear, all their fear that's driving their way of doing life, and he's going to erase it at the cross. And when he comes back, he raises from the dead, and he comes back and he gives them the assignment. Now you're the champion. And he hands them the baton, right? Before he goes to the cross, he has this time with the Father. And he prays. Let me go. I'm sorry. I just wanted to. It's in John 16 and 17. Jesus says this to the Father. So the disciples, he's been with them. He's had communion with them. And he goes and he prays. And they're watching. They're at the table, maybe. Or they're in a room like this, watching Jesus pray. Jesus is praying to the Father. And he says, Father, I've manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they've known that all things which you've given me are from you. For I have given them to the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I pray that you would be in them, for they're yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm in them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in them. And he prays this, that they would all be one as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you. That they would be one in us and that the world would believe you sent me. He's showing them, he says, look, this relationship that I have with the Father, you have with the Father. This connection that I share with heaven, you share with heaven. This authority that's in me is in you.
Right.
And so when he takes the bread and he shares it with them, this is what Adolf was saying about the DNA that's in you.
Yeah.
He says to them, when you take this bread, you're literally reminding your system, your physical body, you're reminding your heart, right? This pulse of this, how you love, you're reminding your thinker, I share his DNA.
Right, right.
Genesis says I'm made in his image. And I don't sometimes forget who I am. So when you take this bread, it's of me. You're reminding yourself, you're in my image. Take the bread.
That makes more sense.
Right? When he says, do this in remembrance of me,
mm-hmm.
he says, do this and remind yourself who you are. You're my son.
Right.
But here's what we know. The enemy's a jerk. He loves to throw challenges at you.
Yes.
He says, principalities and powers will come against you.
Yes.
Right? And we will forget God is good. We'll be challenged there.
Mm.
We will forget who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We will forget what was completed at the cross. will get confused and maybe lose hope about all things being possible. So what does he say in Matthew? When he gives them the wine, the juice of the new covenant, which is what? He says, that old system of believing, I've reestablished in him, in heaven.
Right?
There's a new way of doing business. Kingdom of God, driven by the Holy Spirit, right? And so when he gives them this, he said, he tells them, drink from this, for this is my blood. It's the blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of
sins.
What did I tell you sin was?
Fear.
Consumption of fear. He says, when you do this, you're reminding yourself,
right.
Fear's gone.
Right.
It does not control me anymore.
Right?
Perfect love.
Mm-hmm.
Cast out all fear. Right? So as we take the juice, it's like, as a believer in Jesus, as a Christian man, as a Christian woman, as a son and daughter of Papa, right? We remind ourselves, I'm his, and I have authority. So as you take the juice this morning, the fear is gone. We're reminding our body, our spirit, perfect love is right here, right? So take the juice this morning. Isn't it so simple? Right? Isn't it so simple?
It's one word. Transformation.
Sometimes we get confused and it's easy to take communion and turn it into a religious practice.
Yeah.
It's easy to get lost in the confusion of the process, right? Or we forget, oh, this step versus that step. All he's ever done, the Holy Spirit's job is to remind us who we are. That's what he tells us. So when we celebrate communion today, like we just did, here's what we know. We're sons and daughters of the King.
Right.
We're operating in his name. We're champions of heaven.
The system of love.
So this week it's Easter. And there's lots of faith groups out there that celebrate Easter. Some do it with bunnies and eggs, and others do it with the cross. And you know what? We do it with love.
Yeah.
So you get to go love people this week.
Right.
Whether they know Jesus or not, you love them.
Right.
Whether they're angry about him or not, you love them.
Right.
Whether they're confused about Christianity or not, you love them.
Right?
Right? And it says they'll know us by prayer.
Right?
Yes. So Father, we welcome you into our week, our Easter preparation, God. And so we say, Holy Spirit, remind us about what you did at the cross. Remind us about what was completed there. God, you forgave our sin, you rose from the dead, and you transformed us.
Yes.
We're powerful.
Yes.
So God, this is a week of remembering who we are. We're your kids, and we're powerful in your name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yay!